Quite nice, it's really, I'm really pleased to have met you.
Oh, it's very nice of you.
No, I don't say you are a star, Stone, but it's nice to meet one of your own kind, isn't it? I'm a Cockney bred and born.
Yes, sir.
I like Mickey, I like you, fair enough. You don't mind anything?
Oh, they're two great big bells anyway. We should get some snort, you sound sage.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get near
them. You can use the instrument very well.
Hey?
You come through very well.
Oh, well, blimey, mate, I've been coming on and all for about 20 odd years.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, okay. And I packed it up from time of old, damn that long, you know, getting around nattering a few old male females, you know, some of the old dears coming though. I haven't so much for the future then. But just now again, I've been recently coming back, debating some of the people you see on my nerves.
Yeah. You still suffer with nerves, then?
Well, it's only a term, mate. Yeah. aspects of my earthly existences impinge themselves very strongly in such a way that I, for one moment, I lose what I want to say on my own vibration. In other words, I want to think on an entirely spiritual vibration and not be confused or affected by any material condition or past experience. And that is one of the things which we often find very difficult to get a clear channel where we can think completely as we are now, without any interference from past memories, past association, past conditions of earthly existence, memory which sometimes affects in such a way our conversation with you, that which we've intended to come and say, we have probably not been able to do or very little. I mean, I'm very conscious as I speak to you that I'm getting one of my incarnations in the French Revolution when I was attached to the court, and I deliberately wanted to avoid it.
Can we help you?
No, no, there's nothing that you can do other than the fact that the patient, you see, as I think I have told you, like many, many people, I have been back to Earth many times in different incarnations, therefore for development, for experience, and in my one incarnation at least, it was essential that I came back and I had a certain work to fulfill. When you think of me, it's difficult for you because you can only visualize or imagine my last incarnation. The rest you have to sort of try to grasp in some way within yourself. You have to sense this thing, but it's never exactly the same that you must have with yourselves when you realize reincarnation is a fact, and when you realize that you have experienced many things and many lives, you can only, in a sense, what you say, imagine. Sometimes these imagined things become realities in as much that you hold on to certain threads which gradually weave themselves into a kind of pattern which has meaning to you. In other words, we give you, for instance, from this side, certain facts, we give you certain threads connected with yourself and your past existence.
Yes.
And you have to try to put that into a pattern. We try to help you, but it still revolves around yourself, as indeed do all things of any nature, which means progress. Everything that a human being does must be achieved by their own effort. But nevertheless, threads are given to you. You are given help in as much as you are shown the path, but you must tread it. It is the same with all the great religions, all the great teachers, all the great prophets, all the great seers that came into your world. They each gave, according to their light, illumination, but it still depended on the individual as to how they followed that illumination and what path led them along. That is why there is always such confusion. As man accepts a certain religion or a certain master or a certain teacher, he gets often lost because he puts his own interpretation, often a very wrong one, often a very material one. Instead of clinging to the pure thread, he concocts some tapestry which in consequence destroys the natural beauty and the natural reality. I mean, for instance, as an example, you take Christ. Christ came into the world to show the path of illumination to mankind, that they might see how living in a simple way and having tremendous realization of the power within and the oneness of the Father God, how they could overcome the world, how they could become spiritually conscious and aware potentiality of the God power within. But man, in his ignorance over centuries of time, builds around this great glorious truth, this great example of Jesus, build a myth. They build all sorts of false illusions. They create all sorts of conditions which Christ never made, of course, in the first place. Many of the things, for instance, that are celebrated in your world originate from pagan religion. Virgin Birth is a very old thing in itself. Nearly all the great gods of the ancient world were created or voted to be through virgin birth. And if one can realize that Christ was born in a natural way, then he becomes human, he becomes understandable. And you could say, he was a man who was like unto myself. I can understand him, I can follow him because he becomes real. But once you begin to accept the idea that the church teaches that he was God upon earth, that he was created in a miraculous way, that he had miraculous powers, in fact everything about him was miraculous, he ceases to be approachable. You feel that he is so far removed that he is not real, he is like a fairy legend. In fact, so much that has been built around Christ is legendary. Often much of it has been created in ignorance, and often created by the early members of the church to make it possible for them to hold power over the people. I could go on with this thread, but I feel it's very important at this time of the year when you celebrate the birth of Christ to realize the magnificence and the beauty in its true reality. Not that he was miraculously conceived, but he was born in the normal way, a small child, a small babe, with no strength, but that which developed within him was of God. And because of his great realization of oneness with the Creator, because he realized that the only path to true enlightenment, to true salvation of the human race was through sacrifice. The sacrifice, for instance, upon the cross, that in itself has never been revealed in all its true majesty and beauty. Christ died on the cross for an ideal, but remember that he fulfilled promises. He returned and demonstrated that man lived beyond the grave, that death was not the end. Christ was not afraid to die because he realized that the earthly body was purely the vehicle of God's expression through him. In other words, what I'm trying to convey to you is this: accept Christ, accept the beauty and the majesty of Christ, accept the creation of Christ in the normal fashion. He comes then to you a reality. He is something that you can understand. He is someone that you can believe in, someone that you can follow, because he becomes, as it were, human. But once you make this mythical creature so far removed,
it almost holds you, doesn't it? It frightens them.
But I want, at this time, when you celebrate the Christmas, which is such a beautiful period and has so much to offer the world, when you think of the tremendous power and majesty in birth, creation, it is all symbolic too, because it suggests so much to the human mind. If the human mind were allowed to sink in and become a reality, it is indeed only when we are like children that we can be molded by God in his work and in his service and for his purpose. We are not expected, when I say that, to become automatons, or that we are expected to be puppets. God moves the strings. God gives us strength. He gives us power. He gives us, above all things, free will. We can choose. But he gives us a shining opportunity not to glorify him, for God does not want glorification from his children. God wants his children to become glorified through their efforts. In other words, it is not that you are expected to do good, to glorify your Father God, but you are expected to do better on those lines whereby you yourself will be a reflection of the things which are of God. In other words, God himself is the very power, the very spirit, the very essence of man. It is the divine force that flows through all life, not only in human people, not only in people, but in all the various kingdoms. see there are many, many forms of life, and every part and every aspect of life is important because you are part of it. If you hurt an animal, then you are hurting yourself, because the animal is as much part of you as you are part of God, or indeed if you are part of your mother, which we know you are. In all God's creation, though there sometimes seems to be things which do not seem to be in rhythm, which do not seem to be in harmony, yet in nature and in all God's handiwork, before man himself did much to destroy, there was great harmony, there was great beauty, and there was perfection. I want very much for you to realize that you cannot do anything that may hurt another, or any part of God's kingdom, that it will not in some fashion or some way rebound on you. You see, life is like that. Life is movement. Life is motion. It can never stand still. It can never be stationary. It is something which must always flow. That is why there is no beginning. There is no end. Eternity is not such a thing to be afraid of or be apprehensive about. When one thinks about eternity, it seems so tremendous that one's mind, brain cannot grasp it. But the whole thing to realize is that life is constant change, a constant, as it were, realization of greater things, greater opportunities, greater things that one may do and develop, greater consciousness, greater awareness, greater, in so many different forms and ways, and sometimes even so subtle as a change that one is hardly conscious. That is why one must remember and realize that many lives are often important. In other words, one must return often to many bodies to undo often the wrongs that one may have done in a previous incarnation. Sometimes you must return in another shape or form, even that, so that you may feel and that you might know what it is to suffer, as you perhaps at some period made others suffer. One can only learn to be a complete person. In other words, one can only be fully conscious of all aspects of life when you have, as it were, been in some shape or fashion or part of all the different conditions and aspects of life. What I want you to realize is that you, as a group, have come together because you have been brought together not only in this life, as you understand it, but in past lives. You have been different people, and yet one and the same spirit flowing through different bodies. It is only that the body is the vessel. The power of the spirit is that which inhabits, which is creative, which expresses itself according to the individual, according to what that person will allow in his or her development or lack of it. We are all gradually aspiring. We are all gradually evolving. We are all gradually becoming more and more conscious of the need for the other. We are all gradually becoming more and more conscious of how we are brought into being, and the purpose and the reason. And we can see the plan, as I said before, the little thread that is given to you sometimes seems so small, and you think that you will achieve little with this and that thread. And yet, when you realize what can be achieved, how the tapestry of your lives are woven into a pageantry of great beauty and harmony, in which you become a very important part of a tremendous whole. We cannot explain to you many things because we ourselves are not in a position or able to do what I want you to know. Whatever may befall you, even when disaster comes, even when it seems beyond all reason, when it seems that there is no purpose, no sense, as you say, in it, when even it seems unjust and cruel, when often you feel that you have been let down, even by those of us who may come to you, even that sometimes may even cross your mind because you are human, I say to you, we cannot in any way change the events which must come about through circumstances beyond our control. We are souls who come to you in love, in brotherhood, with a desire to serve and to do the work. work of God. You are the instruments through whom we endeavor to serve and to work. But remember that you are in a world which you have returned or been placed for a purpose, that you have been tested and will be tested no doubt again. And though you may not be found wanting, yet nevertheless it is essential that you must learn through adversity and sorrow sometimes the very lessons that you could not have learned otherwise. How often it is heard from people in your world who say, why, if there is a God, why is this permitted? But you do not realize that God has given his children the free will, that it is for them to find the way to salvation. He has sent among the peoples of earth and generations of time many great messiahs, many great teachers, who have been an example, who have set a path. They have given you the insight and the open door to follow. But if you do not see clearly, if you are blinded by vanity and deceit, if you are blinded by the material things of your daily life, because you can only conceive of them, that you will not see that the eternal joys, the eternal beauties are the things that should be your treasures. Man so often thinks, as it were, like a Jekyll and Hyde character. He has his good qualities and he has his bad. He tries perhaps to submerge the worst of self. We do not even ask you. We do not expect you always to be successful. We only ask that you will strive to develop the better side, the good, that you might see through that experience that will come upon you, through endeavoring and doing that which is right, just, and good, and honorable. You will see the difference it will make in your lives, and gradually the worst of things will fall away. But realize that those who progress spiritually cannot necessarily be expected or even hope that their earthly journey will necessarily be, because of that, a better one. For the more you know of things that are of quality, the more you know of things that are of God, the more difficult it must be to appreciate material things. In other words, man has created disharmony and discord in your world. Man has turned all that was natural and beautiful often into something which is hideous. Man dwells and lives in fear because he himself has created fear from the earliest times. Man has created all that man loves, and yet man himself is not able to pull himself out of the depths because he is afraid, because also he is full of doubt. And all the great religions, and all the great wisdoms of the world, man himself, even when he has found the great jewel of Christ, he has often distorted it. When it has been offered to him, he destroys, because he is not satisfied. Because he feels that he must have his way. He must do as he feels. Man must learn to be like the child. He must be open to receive wisdom. And though it is right that he should ask questions, it is often necessary for him to discard truth before he can realize and appreciate it. There's a lot in the fact that man himself is only wise when he seems most ignorant. For man's earthly wisdom is not the wisdom of the spheres, it is not the wisdom of the spirit. For spiritual wisdom is not earthly wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is that which you sense and feel with an intensity of being, which radiates and permeates through all the difficulties of your earthly existence. When you become often irrational, you are most spiritually rational. It is difficult, most difficult, a and we do not expect affection from you, neither do we ever, when you err and make mistakes, do we condemn. For we know your difficulties, but always I say to you, remember the threads, pure golden threads, that bring luster and beauty to the tapestries that you weave, and realize that you are weaving not for yourself, for everything that you do, in some measure, must have an effect upon some other, and oft times many people, for you are all of the same spirit, cast in different modes. That is why it is important that you should develop yourselves the best of your abilities, taking the examples that you have been given, realizing the beauties that are hidden often in the truths which have been obscured for so long by men of wisdom, earthly. They who would be great in your world, they who would hold pomp and ceremony, they who would do this in the name of God, who are ignorant indeed of the beauties and the simplicities that lie behind all this. These who are in their ignorance, making indeed your world more difficult, because they obscure. Truth is something that shall set you free from all earthly things. It will show you a golden path that will lead you to a heaven where radiation of light and beauty is such as you have never dreamed. You need not fear any second of your living day. Always to know that we who come to you are ever beside you in some fashion, to help you, to guide you, to inspire you, to uplift you, if you will help us to help you. But we know the difficulties. But I say this, whatever your trouble, whatever your sadness, whatever your sorrow, it shall pass, and you shall be given strength, such strength as you never thought was possible, and you shall see with the eyes of hear with the ears of the Spirit, and you shall know what it means to be one with God. We, my children, my friends, are one in spirit and indeed in truth. Have no fear, for we are with you. We shall not be separated, for it is the same Spirit that flows through each one. We may be for a time in a fashion separate, yet the time shall surely come when we shall realize the tremendous reality, the fullness of spirit, and the earthly tasks are set aside, and the earthly vessels no longer are used. Then when you are indeed in the realm of spirit, you will see eyes of spirit and truth. You will hear the ears of spirit and know that indeed you are blessed. There is nothing, nothing at all that can touch you, that can harm you, that can make you afraid. For we are all of God, and we do the will of God. Then when you are indeed in the realm of spirit, you will see the eyes of spirit and truth. You will hear the ears of spirit and know that indeed you are blessed. There is nothing, nothing at all that can touch you, that can harm you, that can make you afraid. For we are all of God, and we do the will of God. We are His children, His purpose, and we are indeed blessed in service one to another. That should I had intended to say to you, I have not been able to say. But I felt at this time, which is a time the people upon earth, families particularly, gather together, when love seems to descend more upon the earth with greater might and power. And this was the time to try to make you realize that we are indeed one family. And we must remember when we think of ourselves, because we know and understand this, of those misfortunates in your world particularly, those who for various reasons are separated, we must try to realize that we have a duty to them, wherever they may be and whoever they may be, whatever their race, color, creed, they are one with us. They may not be yet on the path, but one day they shall see and they shall know. It is your task to be patient, to be tolerant, to be loving, and to be kind, and to remember that if they do not see as you see, they do not understand as you understand, yet in their own way they are struggling, often to find God. And God is found in many ways. There are many religions, there are many aspects of truth. But when man is free of all the things that man has created in ignorance, which obscure light, we must realize that they can only see what they have either been permitted to see or what they have made possible for themselves to see. You have been fortunate. Often you can help. But do not argue. Do not become cross. Annoyed, and do not condemn any soul, because they cannot see and know and understand as you see and know. Perhaps that which they have is sufficient for them according to their light, even though to you it may seem dim, to them it may be bright. Remember that we are one in spirit and in truth. We are all his children, irrespective of what grade we may be upon. We are all slowly, very slowly evolving. If others are blessed more abundantly, then there is indeed cause for rejoicing. Never be envious of others. Realize that often those who seem to have most, in a material sense, have least. Be grateful that you have been given abundantly of truth and spiritual gifts and spiritual treasures that cannot be taken from you by yours. Where the treasures of the earth must diminish and pass away, that which you are building is eternal and will always be with you while you yourselves make it so. By your thoughts, by your actions, and above all by the love that you give out wherever you go. This truth is not new. It is old as time itself. And all the great teachers and the great prophets, all the great messiahs, all these humble men of great spirits, these were the light and the darkness of time. Follow them, and follow we who come in their name to do their work and their bidding, realizing that life is an experience that is essential in all its many moods, in all its many conditions. Whatever you are called upon to do or bear is important. Above all things, we are of God, and that you also are brothers and sisters in this journey through eternal life. I have to go, but as I go, I sense many souls who have drawn close to me, who helped me to speak to you. Many of the things that I had intended to say, I have not said. I have said other things which come not only from myself but from others, who have come with such illumination of spirit and love that they might open your eyes, that you might see, that your hearts might be full, that you might indeed rejoice at this time of the year when you celebrate the birth of light, when you celebrate the birth of the Christ Spirit, when you celebrate God's wisdom being shown in a humble form, as indeed all wisdom is shown in humbleness, and only be appreciated when it is received in humbleness. They who are great are not great. Those who are humble are great indeed, for the humbleness has made possible the illumination of their hearts. And with our hearts do we know that love is God, and God is love. So from all of us here, known and unknown to you, and all in harmony with me and with you, we leave with you our peace, our blessing, and say, as this year that is to come approaches, whatever it may hold for each one of you, know there is a reason, there is a purpose. We have work to do. It is God's work, and because it is His work, and we have been called in His service, we cannot and we shall not fail.
I wish there was more to say than God bless your father.
Manifestation of the power of the love of the Spirit that will amaze you. Be occupation above the other. I know it's difficult, but I think you have done amazingly well this year, and goodness knows you have gone through the mill, but nevertheless, you certainly have come out on top. Now, we'd like to take this opportunity, wishing you a very happy Christmas and a very peaceful one, as I'm sure it will be, and know that we shall be ready when you are for the work after the Christmas recess. So good night, and God bless you from us all.
Good night, God bless you.
Good night, God bless you. Happy Christmas, prosperous New Year, and all that you want, may you have it.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Nice tonight, isn't it?